Welcome, everyone, to Buzzer Beaters, Episode 7. I'm Eddie Aparicio, and this is my co-host, Anthony Tuan Corral. And if this is your first time listening to Buzzer Beaters is a podcast that is dedicated to basketball with an emphasis on the NBA. Buzzer Beaters is a property of GremlinsMedia.com. You can find us on GremlinsMedia.com, Rumble, YouTube, under the profile Gremlins Media, as well as your traditional podcast outlets such as Spotify, Google, Apple, and Pandora. You can also find us on Facebook and X, formerly known as Twitter. If this is your first time listening to us, the format of the show is that both Anthony or Tuan and I pick two topics each, and then we host each other's topics. And the intent is for us to cover about an hour's worth of material for the show, spending about 15 minutes per topic each. Sometimes we might go a little bit over, sometimes we might go a little under, but that's the intent. So without further delay, let's go ahead and get started. So for the topics that I chose for this week, we're going to talk about the NBA playoffs, just like we do every week until the finals happens and it's over. We're going to continue to talk about the NBA playoffs throughout the whole next few weeks until it's over. Then my next topic is, if you listen to our episode 3 podcast, we talked about, like, if we were going to go ahead and pick a team, you know, right now based on the players today that would have, you know, a success for the next 4 to 5 years, what would that team look like? Well, I want to kind of put a little wrinkle to that and actually kind of open it up to the all-time starting five. Who would be our all-time starting five that we would pick on our team? So we're going to go ahead and talk about who we picked and why we picked them. And there's probably going to be some omissions, but we're going to talk about why some of those people were omitted from our top five. So those are my two topics. Tuan, what are your two topics that you want to talk about?
So my two topics is around kind of following the theme of Eddie's top five. I wanted to talk about the five most underrated players. But within there, within that topic, I wanted to kind of weave in, kind of the qualities of greatness. Because I think it's embedded with underrated players. You know, what made them underrated? What were they really good at? And I want to talk a little bit about that. And so get into that a little bit. And then my last topic is kind of as I've been watching the playoffs, something that I've kind of noticed, and I think we notice it every year in the playoffs, and that is large market teams and the advantages that they have over small market teams. But I don't necessarily want to get all the way into kind of the conspiracy theory aspect of it, although we can, yeah. And it'll probably head there. But I do kind of want to discuss the parameters of what makes a large market team. Now, I know most people are going to go, well, the number of viewers. I've got arguments that say otherwise, or also what market they're in, right? So I wanted to talk a little bit about that and, you know, the benefits of being in a large market team in regards to gaining new players, whistles, the NBA, you know, it's a business. So how does that kind of weave its way in? So those are my two topics for this week.
Right on, Tuan. Sounds like a good show, man. So let's go ahead and get into it, man. So let's go through the first topic that I chose. Of course, it's always going to be the NBA playoffs. So let's go to the East like we always do first. But rather than going to the Boston Celtics first, let's go to the game that actually is in progress right now where the Knicks and Pacers are currently tied at 2-2. But it looks like the Knicks are going to pull this one out. They're up by 20 right now in the fourth quarter. So let's go ahead and talk about that game. I don't know if you had a chance to kind of look at what's going on, but I can tell you that the Nova Knicks, the three Villanova guys, right? The Jalen Brunson, you know, Dante DiVincenzo and Josh Hart, those three guys are playing well together. And it looks like they played together for years, right? Because they have. They did it in college, right? Yeah. So those guys are just playing out of their butts right now, and especially Jalen Brunson. You know, Jalen Brunson hurt his foot in the last game, and you could tell that he was hindered by that. You know, he wasn't playing with the same explosiveness. He wasn't able to score at the same clip that he had been showing in the previous games. But today, man, he came back with a vengeance. Yep. He came back to show that he is the old Jalen Brunson and says, don't count me out, even if I have this foot injury. I mean, these guys are just playing like Navy SEALs, as Rick Carlisle described the team. They're a bunch of Navy SEALs playing in the NBA. They're just hard-nosed, hard-pressed guys. And their coach, Tom Thibodeau, I mean, he is that hard-nosed kind of coach, and he's just pretty much getting all these guys to play really hard like he would want to play. So the Nova Knicks are the guys who are carrying them, in my opinion, right now. And the Pacers, you know, unfortunately, if their pace gets slowed down or they're having trouble shooting, they're the deeper team. And for whatever reason, I think they need to play, you know, O'Connell more. T.J. McConnell needs to play way more, man, because that guy's a matchup problem. And I think he's a guy who can create problems for Jalen Brunson. But yet, Rick Carlisle doesn't play McConnell that much. So I don't know what's going on there. But imagine if they had Ben Mathurin, man. Imagine if they had Ben Mathurin, the Pacers. I mean, that guy is a really good, you know, a sixth, seventh man, and he's a scoring machine. If they had that guy, man, Run TMMP would be the name, man, right? So what are your thoughts, man, on that series? It's going to go 3-2 with the Knicks taking the lead here, and it's going back to Indiana in game six.
So, you know, my thoughts were, you know, game one, I thought it could have went either way. I thought that one whistle went in New York's way, and I thought they got the game. Game two was a blowout. The Knicks blew them out. And so going back to Indiana, I'm like, you know, I don't know if Indiana's got anything kind of left, you know. And surprisingly, game three was tight. Indiana ended up pulling that one out. And then game four, I saw the Knicks look really tired.
I agree with you. They look tired. They look like spent. I agree. And the thing is that they are playing a lot of minutes. They're starters for sure.
Well, Josh Hart is giving a whole thing about him taking a 1 minute rest, you know, because the dude doesn't come off the court.
It's amazing.
It's incredible. And so I didn't know what to make of it, you know. And then I watched the Knicks today. I thought maybe the Pacers can steal one today. You know, OG Anunoby's out. They got, you know, Jalen Brunson still trying to come together. And so I thought maybe they could steal one, but no, the Knicks found their energy. Like you said, the Nova Knicks, and they're playing tough, and they kept that home. So now I don't know, this series and the Nuggets and Wolves series, I can't quite figure out. It seems to go like one direction, and then it swings in the other direction. It seems to be extremes. And so at this point, I don't know what's up, but I would imagine that the Pacers are going to win at home, and then we're going to go to game seven, and most likely the Knicks will win game seven at the house. But I think, that's kind of the way I'm seeing it right now.
Right. And the thing is, you know, for our little contest, if it goes to seven and the Knicks win, I win that one, right? I get 2 points on that. And at that point, I think I have it, man. But anyway, we'll go ahead and see. But the thing is, you know, not having OG and Anobi definitely is hurting the Knicks. And I think that's probably what happened in the last game is what you saw. Some of that, you know, the ramifications of him not being there. And I think they had to adjust without him. And I think now this game, you know, they show that they can play without him. I mean, they played a majority of the season without, you know, Anunoby. But then when he was playing in the playoffs, I mean, he was playing lights out, defense, scoring. I mean, he was a difference maker. And when that guy is gone, you know, it creates an adjustment period for the team. And I think that's probably what we saw in game four, which is why we saw the Knicks lose. You know, they were going through that adjustment period. And then, of course, you know, they also lost Mitchell Robinson. You know, he had season-ending surgery, so he's out now. So they have two big key cogs that are no longer on. They're nowhere to be seen for the team for the rest of the remainder of the NBA playoffs, and Mitchell Robinson, and, of course, Julius Randle. Julius Randle is, you know, hasn't been on the team even from the beginning of the playoffs. But just imagine if they had their full squad. I mean, that team is scary, man. And I honor to be real frank with you, Twan, I'm pulling for that team, man. Yeah. You know, and the reason, you know, I gotta find a team when one of my Warriors are not playing that I like. And because Dante DiVincenzo played for the Warriors most recently, and they also have Alec Burks.
There's a couple.
Right? Alec Burks played for the Warriors. Wow. You know, I got to pull for some guys that play for the Warriors. So the Knicks are the guys that I'm kind of pulling for right now, man.
Yeah,
so
you know, the one thing I did want to note, you know, Toppin.
Obi Toppin.
Yeah, Obi Toppin. I don't like his game, man.
You don't, huh?
No, I don't. I mean, he is way too offensive-minded. He leaks out too fast. You know, he's doing like between the leg dunks, which, you know, everyone likes. I'm not trying to be old man at the cloud, you know, yelling at the lawn or yelling at the cloud.
Yeah, get off my lawn.
I'm like, dude, buckle down, you know, play some D. Like, you know, we were talking about McConnell. Like, I think, I mean, obviously they're different sizes, but there's a player you could sit, in my opinion, and play McConnell more.
I think McConnell's a difference maker, and I'm surprised Carlisle's not playing him.
And, you know, he needs to play him more. Yeah, and given Carlisle's mentality, you would think McConnell's like his type of guy. I mean, he's you know, kind of a defensive guy. So I don't know what's going on there, but I don't know.
Maybe he's fearful that, you know, they're going to take advantage of the small, you know, because he's small in stature, but he's stocky. He's like Brunson, you know, he's stocky and strong. And I don't know, man.
Brunson, he pisses Brunson off.
They're good friends, by the way. They know each other very well. And
yeah.
So they're good friends and they support each other and so forth. But yeah, I agree. I'm surprised. Carlisle needs to make an adjustment, like Thibodeau made an adjustment tonight where he started Miles McBride or Deuce McBride tonight to give him more outside shooting. And it made a difference. I mean, they're up by 20 points. Yeah, and Miles McBride came out to play, man. So I think Carlisle needs to change the starting lineup up. And I think they need to put McConnell in the starting lineup. Just to see what happens.
You know, there's been a couple technical fouls in this game. They're kind of going at it a little bit. DiVincenzo and Turner were bumping heads. So it's getting good. Yeah. Hopefully the Warriors can win the next game and we get, you know, another game seven.
The two best words in the NBA on. Game seven. So I think it's going to go seven, man. So I think the Pacers are going to pull out at home next game, and then we're going to see game seven in New York, man. Yeah. All right, bro. So let's go to the Boston Celtics and the Cavs. The Boston Celtics won last night. You know, the Cavs were at a severe disadvantage without Donovan Mitchell. Yeah. I mean, you could pretty much seal their fate at that point that they had no shot. But, you know, the Cavs came to play, man. And that typically happens. You know, anytime like a star player isn't playing, you typically see that. The other guys rally around that. And then the other team kind of has a letdown because they're thinking, oh, we just show up, man. It happens all the time. It's human nature. And if anything that the Boston Celtics haven't showed us is that they have a tendency to kind of just rest on their laurels and depend on their freaking, you know, talent, which they have in abundance. But, you know, we saw in game two what happened, right? They lost at home by 24 points. I mean, does a contending team for a championship lose by 24 points at home? I mean, that's unheard of. Right?
Historically, the blowouts have happened. I got to look back and see whether any of those
24 points, man. I can see a loss, but 24 points at home?
Yeah.
Come on, man. That's a little, you know, that's a little disturbing and concerning about, you know, the Celtics being, you know, the overall top favorite to win it. Yeah. And we both chose them to win it, and rightfully so because of their talent and how deep they are. But without Kristaps Porzingis, they're a little vulnerable right now. But the thing is that if Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown play like they have been playing, where they're way more assertive going to the key, they're not relying on their outside shot right now. They're actually driving to the key and just, you know, pushing the other team to defend them. That's when Jason Tatum's at his best. And I think he's figured something out, man. I think, you know, you could see that he's no longer relying on that outside shot. And a lot of people kind of used to comment on just his game being he's uber talented, but he would be so dependent on the outside shot. Kind of like the same tendency you saw with Joel Embiid being so big and so versatile down low, but he would just kind of resort to being an outside shooter and Shaq would be all over him. Get down low because you're just a matchup nightmare. And yet, you know, we see him shoot from the outside. Same thing with Tatum. Tatum is a matchup nightmare no matter who is guarding him because of his length. You know, and smaller guys can't guard him because of his length, and taller guys can't guard him because he's too fast, so you can just get right past him. So I think he figured something out. Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum have figured something out, and I think it's going to be over by next game, man, especially if Donovan Mitchell's not playing.
Is Jared Allen out for the series?
He's been questionable. He's not. He's not out. He hasn't been declared out for the series, but he's, you know, has his rib contusion. We don't know how serious his rib contusion is. It might be some kind of a strained, you know, ligament or something, or it's cartilage. We don't know, but you know, I've had a rib injury before, and they are painful. It kind of messes with your movement a little bit and your breathing. But hey, man, cortisone shot away, man, takes that pain away, man. So I don't know, man. They need him big time. I think if he played, it would be a lot closer series. But in my opinion, it's a wrap, man. I think it's going to be gone.
Yeah, no, it's
over next game, man.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, if it's not this next game, it'll be the one right after. But yeah, I agree with you. I think it's going to be a 4-1 gentlemen sweep.
Yep, I agree. And the thing is, hey, man, Jrue Holiday, man, he is a difference maker, man.
Milwaukee that made dude, a huge mistake.
I agree, man. And I always loved him, man. I thought he would be a great fit for the Warriors, but he's too high priced for him. But, you know, that guy, I mean, he showed up last game. He just does everything well.
No, he's a very versatile. He's a gamer. He's a gamer.
He is, man. And he looks like he's hardly breaking a sweat, too. You never see the guy play. He's like, he's just kind of going through. Yeah. It's a trip, man. But yeah,
he's like 10 miles an hour. He's like, poof.
Yeah, man. You hardly see the guy sweating out there, man. He's an awesome player. He's a difference maker. I'm still all in on the Celtics just because of their talent. And hopefully they figured something out with, you know, the scare that they had in game two, that they need to kind of step up and not take anybody for granted. I mean, I'm surprised we have to say that for a team like that, but we have to, right? We just have to. So any other parting thoughts before we go into the
match? No, if and when the Knicks meet up with the Celtics, those injuries, Anunoby, Mitchell Robinson, those injuries are going to – they're going to make a huge difference in that series. And
absolutely.
Porzingis will probably be back. But then even with those guys out, Porzingis doesn't necessarily have to be back for that series.
Right.
I think he can take some extra time. So, I don't see Boston not getting to the finals.
Yeah, I mean, the only Knicks will be a threat for him, especially, you know, if the Knicks play like they're playing right now. You know, but there's matchup nightmares all over the court with that series, you know, so it's going to be interesting to see what happens, you know, next week when this happens. So
and Boston plays a little better D than Indiana does. So there's that.
I mean, Indiana hardly plays D, man, but they just run them down. Run TMP, baby. Run TMP. All right, man, let's go to the West, man. So let's start off with the game that just happened last night, where the OKC and the Mavs, OKC Thunder and the Mavs, tied, you know, the series got tied up last night. OKC went into Dallas and beat them. So now the series back 2-2. So OKC now got home court advantage right back. You know, what I've seen, you know, so far, especially the last two games, is that Luka Doncic, man, is getting beaten up, man. You got that freaking bulldozer, Lou Dort. He's a linebacker, man. He's just creating havoc. And you know what's funny is that when we first thought, you know, the series was going to happen, I thought Shai Gilgeous-Alexander would be the guy guarding Luka Doncic because of his length. But, man, I forgot about, like, Lou Dort. He's like their junkyard dog. I mean, that guy is just – he's playing out of his butt. And his shot has gotten way better. So he's definitely a true 3-and-D type guy, but he's definitely his tenacity and his physicality, I think, is creating some problems for Luka. And you can see him. He's bruised up, man. He's hurt. You know, he's got multiple
But it's so hard to tell with Luka when he's hurt, because he goes down for everything. Like, you know, like a couple games ago, like, you know, my knee, I can't get up. And then, you know, he's out there taking it to the hole. He's got that soccer skill, you know, I'm down, all of a sudden, pops back up.
You know? It's very true.
Don't Jim Brown us, man. We know what you're doing. So I always don't buy it. You know, when I look at Luke, I'm like, I'm trying to look and see, is he really hurt? Or is he just kind of, you know, milking it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, they made a comment about that at the last game. Like, you know, we thought that this guy was on the floor, for, you know, not going to come back. And then he's shooting a three and he makes it, right? It's like, he's totally duping us, man.
Yeah,
totally, man. And he's a soccer fiend, right? I mean, you know, so the Serbians are into their soccer, man, and they got
their acting skills down.
Yep, for sure, man, for sure. But I got to tell you, man, the guy who's really impressed me on the Mavericks side, you know, of course, Kyrie Irving has been playing really, really well from a defensive standpoint, and he's distributing a lot. No, PJ Washington, man.
Yeah,
PJ Washington has been their leading scorer. You know, up to a certain point, you know, Luka takes over at some point, but PJ Washington is their leading scorer up to a certain point, but his timely threes, his defense, you know, breaking out on breaks, you know, he's been definitely a godsend for that team, a difference maker galore. And of course, Daniel Gafford, you know, he's actually, you know, held his own against Chet Holmgren. You know, Daniel Gafford is also a matchup problem. I mean, both those guys are a matchup problem for the Oklahoma City Thunder, you know, from a defensive standpoint, because they're bigger and more athletic in general. Because they only have, you know, Oklahoma City Thunder only really have one of those guys in Chet Holmgren, and you know, he's definitely a difference maker. But the guy on the OKC Thunder who just looks unstoppable, man, is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Yeah. Man, he is smooth, man, and everything he throws up seems to go in, man. It's like no matter what he wants to do, it's going in, man. He just does kind of whatever he wants to. And he's so herky-jerky, right? And it's like, how do you stop this guy? They don't have anybody.
Yeah, even his herky, I mean, he kind of reminds me of Michael Cooper, where it's like, it's herky-jerky, but it's smooth, you know? Like, he's just always kind of just like an S, right? Not like Vs or Xs. He's kind of like an S.
He's a bigger version of Jalen Brunson and how Jalen Brunson moves.
Yeah. You know,
Jalen Brunson moves similarly, But I would say that, you know, but Shea Jay's has
more physical, I would say, than Gildas.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
But Shea's got this, like, behind the back kind of, you know, he's dribbling behind the back, step back shot, and it's unstoppable, man, because he's so herky jerky, man. Yeah. And he's another guy that just looks like he's hardly sweating out there, man. I mean, that headband that he wears is soaking up all the sweat, man, because he never sweats out there. That guy's just so smooth. Very, very, I mean, he's an extremely talented guy, and I can see why a lot of people felt that he got ripped off from winning the MVP this year. Because, you know, Nikola Jokic has had, you know, this is his third one. They're like, you know, a lot of these voters say they get kind of like, you know, fatigue from a certain player always being there. And, you know, a lot of people thought maybe this would be the year that, you know, Shea would win it. And, you know, definitely he was second in the running, you know, behind, you know, he was in front of Luka Doncic. Jokic, you know, deservedly, I mean, he's definitely the league's best player. He deserved it, but Shea is right on his butt, man. Yeah. Shea is a damn good player, man.
Yep, so. And Shea's one of those guys that, you know, got traded away because they were creating the big whatever, the big Kawhi, the big Paul George, the big – and that's – I don't think the Clippers are winning a thing, and Shea's going to be around for a while, so –
Yeah. So what do you see happening, man? What do you see happening next game? I mean, they're going back to OKC game five.
This is a tight one to call. I think I had the Mavs coming out of here.
Yeah, you did. You did.
To beat them. Yeah, I don't remember.
You need that one badly, bro. You need the Mavs to win. Or still, else
the Wolves ain't dead yet, brother. The Wolves ain't dead yet. Take it easy.
Dude, yeah, I got a two-point lead on you, man. It's 12-10.
If the Indiana manages to beat the Knicks,
yes, you're in a hole. Seven, you get 2 points there. Then we're tied.
You're in a hole.
Well, we'd be tied.
You know, right. I think Oklahoma City's looking like they're going to be the ones that. I think Dallas are going to be the ones.
I think Dallas is going to pull it off too. But the only thing is, you know, we don't know if Luke is really duping us. Or if he really is hurt and he's just kind of showing that he's not that hurt, because, you know, he was asked that question post game last night, you know, how you doing? And he's like, I'm fine. Yeah. I don't know about that, man. He's getting roughed up a little bit. And that's the definitely OKC strategy in trying to limit that guy's effectiveness and, you know, have somebody else beat him, you know, like a Kyrie or a PJ Washington. I think it's probably why you're seeing those guys, you know, emerge because of how they are defending Luka. They're defending him with physicality, and it's limiting him. He's not as effective as he has been, but luckily they have a PJ Washington to help him out, you know. Yep. But I think their experience is going to overcome the youth movement. That's OKC. But, man, OKC is a very deep team, man. I'm very impressed with how young that team is and how poised they are as a team. And it's cool to see that when they interview after postgame, they're all together, man. I really like that about that team, man. They all stick together, man. And no one wants to stand out over the other. Kind of reminds me of the old school Warriors, man, how they were the same exact way, man. I think the OKC reminds me of the Warriors a lot, man, when they first emerged. So,
yeah. I think OKC is a year or two to go to bake up.
To win it, you mean?
Yeah. I think they're a year or two away from, you know, threatening.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So you see the Mavs winning this one in six or seven?
No, I think this one's going seven. Yeah. Yeah, okay. I think this one's going to go
seven. Yeah, I would say the Mavs go in seven as well. That's my call, too. You know, and, of course, you all know that I picked the Warriors here, but they're nowhere to be seen. But anyway. All right, man. Any last parting thoughts?
You're going to get an extra point for that one. Your team's not playing.
You get 2 points if you win this one, especially if it goes seven. So you would win 2 points. Right. You'd be a 2 points ahead of me, man. But then we got this one where we're different too, right?
So
we
got the rise of the dead. The rise of the dead. What happened?
Dude, man, the Phoenix is rising. They were left for dead, man. I mean, Jesus. You know, when we were having this podcast, you know, they were actually about to play game three, and they were down 2-0. And we're like, man, this team, you were like, gentlemen sweep. I don't know, man. Yeah. You know, I'm like, I don't know, man. I think this is going to go seven. You can't underestimate the heart of
Jamal
champion.
Murray decided to wake up.
He did, man. But, you know, and you know, they changed their lineup around a little bit. They have Christian Brown playing a little bit more right now. You know, Peyton Watson hasn't played at all, but Christian Brown has played very well for him. You know, Aaron Gordon has played really well as well.
I gotta give kudos to Aaron Gordon because, you know, in over at Orlando, he was the star, you know.
Yeah.
He was the guy, and he's really, you know, I like I like to see when a team, when players begin to play a role within that team, especially when a player has to sacrifice. I'm sure that Gordon thinks he can do more or is more of a star than what he is in the Nuggets scheme, but he's playing a good role. I like what he's doing. I think it speaks well of him, and he's definitely impact. I don't know if you saw, you know, they asked Ant-Man over there, what do you think about Gordon? He's like, man, I don't want to talk about Gordon. He's like walking away. He's like, I don't want nothing to do with that guy. That guy's pissing me off.
Well, he's a very physical player, and we got to support our fellow WCAL brethren, man.
Right? Yeah.
He went to Mitty, right? Man. You know, we for those of the audience, you know, us guys, Tuan and I were both city kids from San Francisco. I went to St. Ignatius, and then Tuan went to Sacred Heart, and we played against Mitty, you know, in all of our leagues, and we didn't play at the time that, you know, Aaron Gordon played, of course. You know,
we're way too old,
man. We're not that young, right? But, you know, we got to support our WCAL brethren, man. So Aaron Gordon has been playing very well. But, you know, what happened, man, with respect to the tenacity that we saw, you know, from the first two games from the Wolves? You know, maybe it might be the presence of Rudy Gobert, because you pointed that out. You know,
Gobert, they played. Yeah. I think Gobert is one thing, but I do think I got to give a lot of credit to Jamal Murray. I think he's created a lot of problems for Minnesota. He's kind of opened up things for Jokic. So I say it's more Murray than it is Gobert.
Right.
But I do think that at this point, Minnesota should look about maybe having Gobert come off the bench or have him, you know, something along those lines and kind of
do that. Oh, man, that could disrupt the chemistry, man, because Gobert would be, like, totally moping. I don't know, man.
That's the problem with Gobert. And, you know, we were just talking about Aaron Gordon, right? And, you know, and we can go back, you know, I think if Gobert wants to win a championship, he'd be open to an idea where he, you know, it'd make the team a better opportunity to win. And I think that, you know.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I agree with you.
I think he's a defensive player of the year, man.
He's four-time defensive player of the year. I don't know if he could do that. I don't know if Chris Finch can make that call, man. I don't know. Maybe he limits his playing time. Maybe that's it. You know, maybe start him, but maybe not play him as many minutes. Maybe have Naz Reid kind of go up against Jokic.
Naz
Reid was causing a problem for Jokic.
That's the guy that needs to play more. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, of course, you know, Karl Anthony Towns, you know, I don't know if you heard, but his mom had just passed away. And that's probably why, you know, he wasn't himself last game. He didn't play as well. So, you know, rest in peace, Mrs. Towns. You know, that's a heavy heart. You know, we both lost our moms recently too, Tuan and I. So we definitely can, you know, identify and relate to that with what Carl is dealing with. So, but, you know, it's an escape for him too. Basketball is an escape. Anything that you do can be escape from the sorrow that you have from a loved one's death. So Carl Anthony Towns, I think, you know, hopefully will come back, you know, from this and be able to play at the level that he did the first two games. This could be his escape, and he has something to play for. He'd be playing for his mom, just like, you know, the Warriors did for Milo Milojevic. Remember Deki, you know, Milojevic?
Deki,
you know, when he passed away, the Warriors kind of rallied around that, right? So, you know, hopefully he can find that strength to play for his mom, because we understand what he's going through. But but what do you see happening, man? What do you see happening with the Nuggets and the Wolves, man?
You mentioned, you know, the heart of a champion is rising. Like in these types of situations, you know, it's a lot harder for the Wolves to lose two at home than it is for the Nuggets to lose two at home.
Right.
Right. Like people will think that's the same, but it's not, because the Nuggets have the experience. The Nuggets know what it takes to get to the finals and win the finals. So I think I honestly hate to admit it. I mean, I got the Wolves winning, I believe, in seven. I think the Nuggets are going to win this in seven. And I think they're playing right now, right? No, tomorrow's
game. They're playing right now.
Oh, they're playing right now. So I think today's game is going to tell a lot.
Absolutely.
Because if it's a blowout, if the Nuggets win by a blowout, this could be done. You know,
we shall see, man.
You're going to get all the Ant-Man needs some help. You know, what are we going to do? You know,
that type of stuff. Yeah, yeah.
You know, you're going to get all that type of thing coming down the pike. But yeah, I think the Nuggets might pull this off in seven. I would not have said that, because I just thought Minnesota looked
They look like world beaters, man. I mean, how they played the first two games, crap, man. I mean, everybody saw it. And what happened is that Coach Malone for the Nuggets, he definitely used that as a way to kind of get his team fired up. He played all of what the pundits were saying about, you know, the Nuggets being dead, you know, and that he used that as inspiration for his team. And kudos to him, man. He knew what would work for his team, and they came out, you know, punching. So I see it going 7-2, if maybe even 6. Man, the Nuggets seem to they just woke up from their stupor, and I think that they're gonna go against, you know.
I will give credit to Anthony Edwards. That dude's not his game still continues. He still continues to be aggressive. He still continues to be, you know, I think he's a star in the making. And you know, a couple episodes ago we talked about the new face of the NBA, and I think he's still a prime candidate for that.
Yep, I agree, man. I agree. This has definitely been a showcase of his talents. You know, I would probably say if we were to pick an MVP in the entire playoffs, he would be the guy right now for the entire playoffs. He's showed up that much.
Yeah, so it'd be hard to argue against that. I agree.
Yep. All right, man. So let's go ahead. We finished that segment. Let's go on to the second topic that I wanted to talk about. So as we talked about, you know, in the opening, that we had a segment in episode 3 of Buzzer Beaters where we talked about, you know, picking a team now, you know, that we would think that would carry on for the next 5 years and be contenders. And, you know, it's a total fantasy thing, right? We're just kind of just making this, you know, trying to come up with a team that we thought would be really dynamic for the next 5 years. Well, I wanted to kind of change it up, and I wanted to go ahead and focus on the all-time, you know, rosters that we want to have, an all-time starting five, you know, from all the players of the NBA that have played, and just – who would that be? You know, kind of like the Mount Rushmore, if you will, even though Mount Rushmore is only 4 presidents. We're talking about basketball Mount Rushmore, so there's 5, right? So if we were to go ahead and pick the all-time starting 5, I'm going to go ahead and ask you the question first.
All right.
Who would you pick as your all-time starting point guard?
Magic Johnson.
I agree. I have that as well. Magic Johnson is also my point guard. Best passer of all time, widely considered the best passer of all time, revolutionized the point guard position because of his size at 6'10". And we have never seen anything like the way he passes. Not even today. I think the closest we could see is probably LeBron, but he's not even close. I mean, that's how much better Magic Johnson was from a passing standpoint than LeBron James. So I don't think we have anybody else close to him other than
LeBron. Now, I do want to, as we continue down the list, I'll be glad to, but I do want to at least – let everyone know my thought process when I'm doing something like this. My thought process is I'm always looking at building a team.
Yes. Right?
So that doesn't necessarily mean I'm picking a guy that everyone would agree with, but I'm picking a team and strengths and weaknesses and trying to put that all together. So I just want to go through that as we go down the line. I mean, our list may be the same. I don't know, but
we'll see. Yeah. For the audience, we haven't even told each other who we're going to pick for these next 2 segments, right? This is going to be a surprise to both of us as we're going, so it's not rehearsed. So just so you know. All right, so I agree. Magic Johnson should be the point guard. You know, he's a matchup nightmare, both offensively and defensively, because he's got the length, right? He played center, you know, in his rookie year for Kareem when Kareem got hurt, so he's very versatile. So I agree with you, Magic. All right, let's go to shooting guard, the top shooting guard of all time. Like, who would you pick out of everybody?
So my shooting guard for my team is Steph Curry.
Oh!
Yes.
Oh, what?
Yes.
That surprises me, man.
Yeah. And I'll get into that, why I pick Steph, as we go.
Man, dude, you took Homer to a whole new level right there.
I'm sure everyone on YouTube land or everywhere else on the podcast are going to be like, this dude's he doesn't know what he's talking about.
But dude, this episode is going to blow up, man, thanks to that comment, man.
Well, here's my thing, right?
All right, let's go.
Why did I take Magic? Because he's the best passer.
Yes.
Why am I taking Steph? Because he's the best shooter.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
He's going to open up the court for everybody else on my team. And again, this is kind of what I was alluding to, because I figured this is the response I would get.
Right. Okay. Understood.
But I'm building a team, right? I'm not saying that Steph is the best two guard that ever existed. I would argue he's not. But in this particular team, that's what I'm building. There's a reason I picked a 6'9 point guard, because on defense, even though he's not a defensive dynamo, I got other jobs for him.
Right? All
right. Right? Okay.
Come on, man. Dude, the whole NBA world is just shaking right now from that pick, man. But, hey, I respect it, man. So I got to tell you, you know who I'm going to pick, man. Come on. I thought you were going to pick Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan is the best player of all time from an offensive and defensive standpoint, and he's a shooting guard. Right? So I have, you know, Magic and Jordan. You have Magic and Curry. You know,
but now I'll have you know I'm going positionless for the most part.
I hear you, I have a few of these picks too. Yep. But it's interesting to see how you make up your team and why. And I'm telling you why I'm making up my team. I'm looking at it from a defensive standpoint always first. You learned that probably from the first time we did these picks in episode 3 of Buzzer Beaters. You know why I picked the team that I picked? I'm doing the same thing here, man. I'm looking at it from a defensive standpoint and offense. That's good enough to win at any level, you know, shooting at any level. Maybe not as efficient as Curry is from a 3-point standpoint, but efficient everywhere else, man. All right, man. So let's go to the small forward. Who do you pick as your small forward?
Well, that's where I put Jordan. Right, I put Jordan as a small forward.
Interesting. Okay, so you have a 6'6" small forward.
Correct. I'm gonna have a smaller team.
Okay.
But we didn't lay down the ground rules. But I'm presuming we're playing in today's NBA.
We have to because it's all.
Made that presumption. So I'm putting Jordan at the number 3.
Okay.
Right. I got a defensive stopper. But when I think of Jordan's career, right? John Paxson shoot the open 3. Steve Kerr. Shoot the open 3. Dude, who better to have on your hip than Steph Curry for those situations? And now what are you going to do? Are you going to guard Jordan, double team him, and leave Steph alone? Like, to me, that on the offensive end, that combo is just deadly.
The only challenge I see with Curry is from the defensive side. Correct. You're going to have to scheme to kind of hide his effectiveness on the defensive end. I mean, he can play. He's just not. That's not his skill. That's not.
You mean the way Clay's been hiding him for
pretty much the whole Draymond too, right? You know, it's the same thing, man. They scheme to kind of disguise.
Jordan can do that better than Clay ever could. So
right. All right. So you picked Jordan. Yeah, that was a sneaky pick at small 40, 6'6".
Yep.
You know who I picked, man? I picked LeBron James, man. LeBron James, the all-time leading scorer. I essentially now have 2 Magic Johnsons on the same team, big time facilitators. I pick LeBron James because I think, in my opinion, he is the most versatile NBA player we have seen to this day. He can do everything very well. Defensive wise, he's kind of slid back. But you know, when we're picking these teams, we're not picking how they are now. We're picking them at their peak, right? Their best times in their careers. Correct. And LeBron James, you know, to me, he's even better now from a scoring standpoint than he ever has. So if we were to combine the best scoring that he has combined to where he was defensively early in his career, I'm putting that together as this supernova kind of versatile player. That's the reason why I picked LeBron James. I have 2 facilitators. He's a very good defensive player when he puts his mind to it. So I have 3 long guys, man, that can create problems. That's the reason why I picked those 3.
Okay, well, so here's my concern with that.
Okay.
I think LeBron is a lesser of a player when his passing is not highly involved in what he's doing. And I think that any team that is run by Magic Johnson, you only got 1 passer on the squad. You got other guys that can pass, but you're only going to have 1 facilitator. That's the way that I look at it.
I hear you. But the thing is,
so I see a problem with Magic and LeBron being on the same team.
I see hockey assists left and right, man. That's what I see. I see open guys every time, man. That's what I see. You know, because you can't key on one of those guys, you know, to be the passer. You can't. I mean, you know, even when Magic Johnson at his height, you know, he couldn't be stopped. Now imagine if the defenses try to key on him now. You have a LeBron James who does the exact same thing. And if it needs a blow, crap, I can go ahead and sub Magic Johnson and put in LeBron and have a similar player. So that's the reason why I did it. All right, so let's go to the next one. Okay, this is interesting, man. So power forward, who would you pick?
My squad is small because I picked Kobe.
Holy crap. Yeah. Man, you are like totally, what the, Kobe at power forward. Whoa. Well,
again, we have to understand, I'm not picking positions, right? I'm picking guys that can play defense, right? In this instance, Kobe and Michael can play vicious defense.
Absolutely.
Correct.
Absolutely. That's, I mean, you have two of the guys that are considered the highest skilled players of all time on one team, right? Correct. I get it.
And again, I have Magic. So Magic 6'9", 6'10". So it isn't like I'm lacking for size. So I've got Kobe because I've got both guys that can play defense, both guys that can play offense. And then I've got shooting with Steph and it's passing with Magic. And that's the way that again, feel free to rip me apart. But that's my form.
Man, dude, I mean, you're shaking up the NBA world with this commentary, man. But it's sneaky. I can see what you're doing. You're making a positionless team, correct? Right? Yes. I know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Okay, this begs the question now, man. Who do you have at center? Do you have LeBron James at center, man?
No. There so
Wait. You don't have LeBron James on your team at all?
No, I do not.
What? Please explain. Please explain why. Why?
You know who my center is?
Okay, tell me who your center is, and now I want you to explain why you don't have LeBron.
My center is Kareem.
I have him as my center as well.
Okay, so I need block. Okay, look, simply put, I'm building a team. Now, we're going to get into it about LeBron's great this and LeBron's great that and blah, blah this and blah, blah that. That's fine. I'm not here to argue, but you said it in your earlier, he's my glue guy. He's my versatile guy.
Yeah, he's my versatile. He does a lot of things well.
And again, when you look at the team that I'm building, every guy that I'm picking is arguably the best at what he does. Magic is arguably the best passer. Steph is arguably the best shooter. Michael Jordan is the best champion, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Kobe has drive like no other. So I'm putting Kobe on a 6'10 guy. Kobe's not backing down, right? Kobe's going to do what he needs to do. And then I've got the guy with the most unstoppable low post shot in the history of the NBA.
Yep. Right? Okay.
So I'm going to tell you, okay, when I'm building this team, what do I need LeBron in that particular instance? What do I need him for?
Like I said, he does everything well. That's why I picked him.
I've got five guys that do everything LeBron does well better than LeBron.
I would say that LeBron's a better passer than Kobe.
But he's not a better passer than Magic.
Yeah, but I already have Magic and I have LeBron. So you're specializing. You're putting specialists, right? Well,
not only am I putting specialists, but I'm building a team. So number one, look, Magic doesn't look for his shots. Okay. Yeah. Steph, he's played with Durant. He's played with, with Clay. He knows how to take a back seat. There's going to be the only ego concern I have on my team is going to be with my other three guys, with Jordan, Kobe, and Kareem. I got a potential issue there. But if we're moving and we're passing, I mean, Kareem played in the Lakers Showtime. You know he can run. You know he can do what he needs to do.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is people are going to look at this like I left LeBron on, but when I'm looking at my team, I'm asking you, would I put LeBron in for that would do a better job than the guy that I'm taking out?
I'm just perplexed, man. That the guy that is widely considered in the argument along with Michael Jordan as being the greatest of all time, and you don't have him on your top five.
Well, I'm like, that's fine. I mean, I'm building a team.
Yeah.
Right. I'm building a team, and to me. I mean, we can get into this.
Please.
Oh, sure. So LeBron's the greatest of all times, okay? LeBron hasn't made things work with teams he's built. LeBron has left teams. He left his hometown team twice. He couldn't get along with the management staff in Miami. He's over at the Lakers, got rid of more talent than I think he took in.
Playing GM.
Okay, yeah, so what I'm saying is, now I know this conversation doesn't really have anything to do with his basketball skill, but I'm thinking, imagine a guy like that and what his ego is going to do to a team of four other studs.
Right.
Right? So to me, I look at this and, like, I'm going, all right, Steph, he'll be low-key. Magic is going to pass. You know, Kareem's going to do the big work. He's going to get the rebound, play defense, get his unstoppable shot. My only issue is Jordan and Kobe. And then there, I think we got a little bit of alpha-alpha that pushes each other. But LeBron is going to come in and be like, oh, you got to go there. You got to do – his whole vibe is – so I don't subscribe to his greatness.
So you're saying that his persona would get in the way of the team.
I'm saying that's one aspect. Also, historically speaking, look at his actions. Look at what he's done, right? I mean, just look at it. I mean, when he did, you know, the announcement of going to Miami, you know, he embarrassed his hometown team.
I love the chance that the Akron, there was like Akron hates you. Yes. They started calling him Scotty Pippen.
Exactly.
That was awesome.
Then he goes to Miami, where arguably you've got the best coach and GM in the NBA. Right. Arguably. And he can't manage to stay there. Why? Because he's trying to tell him what to do, and Riley's like not having it. Like, you got to go, bro. Like, you're not telling me what to do. What I'm saying is, now this is all external stuff, but all of this plays into
why you didn't pick him on your team.
Yeah, why I didn't pick him on a team. I'm building a squad that needs to get along.
And I didn't even consider any. I didn't even consider any of these factors. You're taking it to another level.
Yeah.
You know, that the dynamics of a team and how the team can function well together, and the personalities matter, right? So you're saying that someone like LeBron, because of his history and what he's done in his time in the NBA in disrupting teams to get the way he wants the team to be built and will do it at any cost, has created problems for that team wherever he goes and whenever he leaves it.
Exactly. I mean, you look at today, right? He's leveraging every bit of power he has to get Bronny on an NBA team. If Bronny's last name wasn't James, dude, he wouldn't even be at the freaking combine. I mean, come on.
Wow. Come on. Twan, dude. This is going to blow up, man.
I'm just telling you. Like, look at him, you know?
Wow.
They're saying he's 6'4". They measure him. He's barely over 6'1". You know?
Wow.
So what I'm saying is, you look at that personality trait. You know, LeBron is a master. If you ask me what LeBron's greatest skill is,
passing.
LeBron's greatest skill is enhancing and protecting his brand.
Whoa.
That's
hello.
His greatest skill.
All right. Man, he's preaching, man.
He's taken care of himself so he can play for 20 plus years.
Right.
You know, he's leveraged every bit of power that he can to hold organizations hostage, to make sure that they do what he wants to do. And even when they do, they end up more than not being successful.
Wow. Hey, man, I did not see this one coming, man. I seriously was just looking at it from a pure basketball, you know, the way they play together, the chemistry. But you're taking it to a whole nother level.
That's what I'm saying you said I'm building a team.
Yeah. Like, I'm not just
putting the five. And, you know, I struggled with Kobe to put him in because, you know, I could have put Tim Duncan. I could have put Larry Bird. I could have put somebody that fit the mold more. But here's the thing, right? And I don't know how to play this off of kind of what we're doing. But Kobe idolizes Jordan. So the presumption would be that he would still idolize Jordan in this scenario.
Yes.
Right? So he's not going to challenge Jordan to the nth degree. He'll challenge him to a limit.
Yes.
But ultimately, he'll defer to whatever Michael wants.
And you say that LeBron would probably challenge Jordan in this scenario.
He would. I don't see. That's the thing about LeBron. I don't know if he'd outright challenge him, but he'd do it in a way that breaks team chemistry. Like he'd like go around him and say this or say that. Like just stuff that gets people upset. You know, like, why is this dude saying this? Why didn't he say it to my face? Type of situation. I don't know LeBron at all. But these are the points I get from him.
You're not. I mean, you're bringing up points that are considered factual in how things were handled. But there's always nuances to all this stuff. But I can see why your argument is there. It's valid. I'll tell you, all the LeBron lovers out there are going to be hating, man. But
I know.
Great take though, Twan. I got to tell you, man.
I'll ask you this, Eddie. I'll ask you this.
Okay.
Knowing what you know, you're an owner, Matt.
Yes.
I make you an owner. Knowing what you know about what LeBron has done.
Yes.
And let's say you pick whatever your six guys. Would you draft LeBron over those guys?
Over the guys that you have on your team right now?
Sure. Or what I'm saying is, like, the way I looked at this is, like, LeBron's got no – now, loyalty's a strong word because it goes both ways and we can get into it. But LeBron's left organizations in the dust. He's told organizations what to do and not allowed certain people in the organization to do their job. What I'm saying is, if you know all of these things, why in God's name would you pick him as your cornerstone?
Okay, so you're like, if you know, like knowing what you know about his game and his legacy and how things kind of worked out and how he built the teams and kind of the way he left Cleveland and had this show, you know, the decision and, you know, creating, you know, a total scene about, you know, where he's going, right? And then,
I mean, do you think the owner of Cleveland likes LeBron? Do you think Pat Riley likes LeBron?
Respects him, likes him, probably not.
No.
Respects him, yes.
Of course. Everybody respects
his game because he's
I'm not saying he's a stiff. Yeah. But what I'm saying is, when we're talking about the nuance of greatness, right, there's a lot of these things that matter, you know?
I hear you.
Do I think that Steph is more talented than LeBron? No. But I know that when the Warriors got Durant, Steph bowed out. He said, do what you got to do. Steph showed the wherewithal to say, hey, in order for this to work, one of us is going to have to be not the alpha, you know? And so to me, I'm looking at that. And I look at Magic and Magic in his happy-go-lucky way. Now, Magic's alpha, but he kills you with kindness and kills you with a smile. And so those two guys if you want to call them the 1-2, you know, those are guys that aren't going to ego trip, you know? My only ego trips are probably Jordan and Kareem, you know, and them figuring out what's what. But, you know, Kareem played with Worthy. Kareem played with Magic, who was a large presence. He proved that he could do it. But who, you know, LeBron played with Kyrie, probably the guard with the best handles in the league.
Yes.
And what Kyrie went running, like he got shot out of a cannon.
I agree. Damn.
Pippen never leave the Bulls, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's what I'm saying. I look at this and I'm going, dude, your behavior is that in a way where you make your team feel a certain kind of way?
I hear you, man. I hear you. Man, dude, I mean, dude, okay, so to summarize real quick, right? So you have Magic as your point guard. I have Magic as my point guard. You have Steph Curry. I have Michael Jordan. You have Kobe. Wait, you didn't have Kobe Bryant. You had
they're interchangeable. You can put Kobe at 3, Jordan at 4, however you want to do it.
Put Jordan at 3. I have LeBron James at 3. You pick Kobe at 4, and I haven't revealed who my fourth was.
No, you haven't.
So my fourth is Olajuwon, man.
Yes.
All right. I had to pick my favorite player.
I hear
of
you.
All and time
I
my team.
With that, Eddie.
I had to put him on there, man, because he is easily considered, in my opinion, at his position, the best two-way center we have seen.
I struggle with that. So
that's the reason why I put him there, man. And because, you know, then you have Kareem as the 5. We both have Kareem as our 5, you know, because he has the most unstoppable shot. And he's still a sneaky good passer, a sneaky good rebounder, you know, and he did everything sneakily well. I mean, right? But his go-to shot never been stopped. And I'm keeping the guy who blocked his shot, Hakeem Olajuwon, on the same team so he doesn't cause a problem for him. So that's the reason why I have Hakeem as my 4. So,
no, that's a good – I'm jealous of that pick, and I struggled with Olajuwon and whether to put him in instead of Kobe, right? I did struggle with that, but I thought, you know, I wanted a team that could run, and I thought two big men – even though Hakeem can run, I thought that Kobe made us more versatile in that sense. And in this day and age, whatever team we're playing, for me to have two bigs that can't really guard the 3 was too much of a liability.
Right, right. Yeah. And, you know, and just so you know, I was in between Olajuwon and Tim Duncan. That's where I was in between. So, I had to pick my favorite player of all time.
Tim Duncan and Olajuwon will pop out on my next list.
All right, man. Yeah. So I think, hey, we put some good time on this segment, man. Man, you had some great takes. I did not see that one coming, man. I got to tell you, the NBA world is going to blow up when they hear this, man.
Let the hatred come. I know the youth loves themselves some LeBron James, and I'm not doubting his skill, but I'm looking at this. I look at greatness in a lot of different ways.
I hear you, man.
You know,
I hear you. I hear you. So
one of the reasons I think that Jordan continuously, even though I've argued that Kareem should be considered as the greatest of all time, I think the reason that Jordan is because Kareem was a curmudgeon to the media. And so the media is responsible. And so whether that's fair or not, that's an aspect of how your greatness is calculated.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and so those things I have to look at them. I have to kind of calculate them and see where they come. And to me, LeBron has always been about LeBron.
Interesting, man. Interesting. Yeah. Right on, man. Yeah. Well, hey, man, we have essentially, I mean, we're going to go a little bit overtime, folks. We're essentially right at it, about 5 minutes left and for an hour. So we're probably going to spend about 15 minutes. We're going to spend this one. This is going to be our last segment. We'll go ahead and finish up. We'll add next week's segment into next, the last segment to next week's.
The large markets we'll do next week.
Large market we'll do next week. So go ahead and let's talk about the, what you wanted to talk about, man.
So I wanted to talk a little bit about underrated players. You know, throughout the history, you know, now, of course, my view is slanted towards my generation and the players I grew up watching and even some of today's players. But I wanted to talk a little bit about underrated players because I think just like I mentioned, and this kind of fed into my large market, I won't get into it, but where a player played, you know, how many championships they won, you know, that all kind of elevates them into their greatness. And I think there's a handful of players that because of their market, because of their demeanor, because of the way they are, they're underrated. I think they're just very underrated. So what I wanted to do was I wanted to go kind of maybe pick five players. I think I ended up picking like seven because I struggled with it a little bit. But I wanted to kind of go back and forth with you, Eddie, and talk about some of these players in terms of like what your top five most underrated players are, what my top five most underrated players are. So I kind of wanted to start with you and
pick
one. And don't go ahead in your order.
Yeah, so I'll tell you what do you have it positionless or do you have it by position?
No, I have it positionless. I didn't go with position because I just went for different reasons. So I've got a couple of players that are underrated because of one thing versus underrated because of another thing, that type of.
Okay, so it's good. We did a little different. So I went with the same theme as we did in the last segment where we picked the point guard, shooting guard. I did it that way, right?
What I'm going to do is I think I may be able to get that out of you.
Okay. Let me go ahead and tell you, rather than like the last segment where I picked my point guard, then you picked, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you my whole team and then you tell me your whole team after that. But the difference here is what I'm going to do is rather than revealing who I picked, I'm going to give you some of their accolades to see if you can guess who that player is.
All right.
So at point guard, and by the way, the criteria that I chose here, these are players that are underrated when compared against like players at that same position that are probably considered better than them, but their stats are very similar, and maybe the market that they played for had an influence, all right? But some of these players that I'm picking, a lot of them are Hall of Famers. Actually, all of them are Hall of Famers. So that's
I have some that are not Hall of Famers.
Okay, so
I'll tell you, when I take a guess at yours, I'll just give you mine. I don't have the accolades, the background, that type of stuff.
Yeah, so I'm going to do that. Yeah, let's just do that. So the point guard. I think you're going to get this one, man. So this guy played 19 seasons for the same team. And believe it or not, this guy played 17 seasons every freaking game, man. Can you believe that? Nobody in this freaking era is doing that. We're all talking about like load management times right now. This player did not do that, right? This guy's a 10-time All-Star. Led the league in assists for 9 straight seasons.
I got you.
Who I'm talking about, right?
Yes, I do.
NBA record of 15,806 assists and 3,256 steals. Leaders in both of those categories. Gold medal winner in 1992 and in 1996. So he was on the original Dream Team. And you know how they dominated, right? So this guy is a Hall of Famer. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, he liked to deliver the mail to a certain mailman.
Exactly.
Yes.
Gonzaga's finest, John Stockton.
Yes.
Honestly, he's probably, in my opinion, the most underrated player of all time. Honestly, to me, okay? Because Do you ever watch that Dream Team documentary when they were kind of going through all, how all the practices, kind of the behind the scenes conversations, when the practice went between Kobe and Jordan, they were kind of competing against each other and stuff.
Yeah.
It was not Kobe. It was Magic and Jordan. So, but anyway, John Stockton was the guy that was walking around town. And nobody knew the hell.
Nobody knew who he was. I remember that.
Nobody knew who he was. And he was wearing the Dream Team shirt, and then, he was kind of like, oh, I'm part of the Dream Team. I'm this guy. And nobody freaking recognized him. It was all about Charles Barkley and Jordan. I mean, those guys took the show, right? John Stockton, to me, is the most underrated player of all time, the most underappreciated player of all time. Only the people that played with him understand how good that guy was.
Yeah.
But the new school right now, they'll look him up and like, oh, come on, this little white guy from Gonzaga, come on. No, that dude was a beast, man. He could shoot. He's the
Greg Maddux of the NBA, bro.
Yeah, man, he was unbelievable, man. He was a scrappy player too, man. So that's why I picked, right?
So when you say underrated in this context,
yes,
you're saying in terms of the youth today, in terms of recognition.
No, I'm just saying when you compare like other people at that position, there's other names that kind of stick out for a lot of people, right? As far as the best point guards of all time, they'll mention like Magic. They'll mention Jason Kidd. They'll mention like Steph Curry. Gail Goodrich, whoever, right? All these other players. That are at the same position, but a lot of people forget about John Stockton, how good that guy was.
I agree. He is arguably the second best point guard in the history of the NBA.
Okay.
Behind Magic. You could argue that he is.
I agree. All right. So let me go ahead and give you my next guy. Shooting guard. Okay, this guy was Rookie of the Year in 1989. He was a fifth overall pick, six-time All-Star, three-time All-NBA second team. He's considered one of the best shooters in NBA history, as well as one of the best defenders at his position. He is a Hall of Famer, and this is where I think you're going to know who he is. Widely known as the one defender that Jordan just hated going up against.
I know.
In matchups.
The Rock.
Exactly. The second member of the infamous Run TMC. No, not Run TMP. Run TMC. The original,
right?
Mitch Richmond of the Kansas State, right? He was the fifth overall pick by the Golden State Warriors. He only played for two seasons for the Warriors, and yet he's legendary in the lore of Golden State Warriors history. He is considered just that guy, man. And he's still only played for two seasons, and people just adore him here, right?
Billy Owens, I hate you wherever you are out there. You took my mentor away.
And you know what? This is considered, Don Nelson's greatest regret. He said this is one of his greatest regrets, that he got rid of Mitch Richmond.
We
all know why, right? He became a Hall of Famer elsewhere, had the best years over at Sacramento Kings. But at least he didn't go too far from Golden State.
I had him on my list as well.
All right, cool. So the small forward, I don't know if you're going to get this one, but I think if I describe it in a way that you'll get it. I'm going to try and see if I can get away with it without telling you until the very end. Okay. This guy was considered a serious scoring machine, like probably the original scoring machine, honestly. He was drafted by the New Jersey Nets in 1978 and was considered the 10th leading scorer in his rookie season in 1978. He was a resilient player, mainly because early in his career, he had battled with substance abuse. And he also actually had an ACL injury when he played for the third team that he left, because he got drafted by the Nets. Then he went to the Utah Jazz, and then he went to this third team. And then after that third team, he went to this other team, and that's where he had this ACL injury. But that's where he's widely known as the best player because of that team that he played for.
I think I got you.
And then, once he recovered from his injury, from his knee, he came back as a Washington Bullet and actually became the third leading scorer, at 28.4 points per game. And he was third behind Jordan. I forgot who the second guy was. Four-time All-Star, two-time NBA first team, scoring champion in 1985. He was also the NBA Comeback Player of the Year in 1981 when he was dealt to. Who is it? He was dealt to?
Not the Warriors.
Yes, he was dealt to the Warriors from Utah. Do you know who this player is?
Oh, no. Okay. I thought you were talking about Bernard King.
That is who I'm talking about.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah, so Bernard King.
Yeah. Bernard King. The Warriors then went to the Knicks.
He went from but he was dealt from the Utah Jazz to the Warriors, and then from the Warriors he went to the Knicks, and they dealt him to the Knicks for Michael Ray Richardson and a draft pick.
Yes,
Michael. That's who they got in return for Bernard King.
Yeah, Bernard King
became this unbelievable scorer in New York, man. So
that was my soapbox moment. That was the first time where I experienced the East Coast media bias. Because I love Bernard King as a Warrior.
Oh, dude, I love
him. I thought he was fantastic.
Unbelievable.
And when he went, this happened twice to my Warriors. It happened with Bernard King, and it happened with Tim Hardaway.
Tim Hardaway and Mitch Richmond.
The minute they went to the East.
Yes.
The media acted as if they discovered these two guys.
Yes.
And I'm like, no, bro. These guys were freaking balling long before you guys found them.
Yes.
And this is where I'm like, the bias is real, because I know who the hell Bernard King is, and I love Bernard King. That dude was a gamer.
He was unbelievable.
Like, yeah, I mean he's a Knicks legend. You know
he is.
Yeah,
he was doing that with the Warriors, but he only played with the Warriors for 2 years.
Yeah, I know.
I picked two guys back to back that played for the Warriors for 2 years, and yet they're still regarded in the lore of the Warriors, right?
Correct.
And it shows you how crappy of the franchise the Warriors were prior to this current dynasty, because we held on to players that only played for us for 2 years.
Exactly.
But anyway, I digress.
Exactly.
So let's go to the power forward. So here, this one, dude, when I looked at this guy's stats, I'm surprised this guy's underrated. Unbelievable. He's already been mentioned in the previous segment, but wasn't on the list, but someone that we should have put on the list, right?
Yeah.
That already gives you who it is. All right. He was a number one pick in 1997 draft. He's a two-time league MVP, three-time finals MVP, 10-time NBA All-Star, 5-time NBA champion. You already know who this is.
I know who this is.
19-year NBA career. And believe it or not, this guy didn't pick up a basketball until he was 14 years old. He was actually training to be an Olympic swimmer in the Olympics. Yep. He actually came from the Virgin Islands. I misspoke. I thought he came from the Bahamas. I knew it was some kind of tropic area. When we, in a past podcast, I mentioned he came from the Bahamas. He actually came from the Virgin Islands. This guy is the big fundamental.
Tim Duncan.
And he's underrated, man. Yep. I mean, when I look
at his accolades, I have Tim Duncan.
I was like, oh my God, how is this guy underrated? Because a lot of people think about Charles Barkley, Karl Malone, right? You take a name. Those guys are typically the guys that kind of stand out as a best power forwards, usually for a lot of people, right?
Yep.
But this guy, I mean, I looked at his stats and I looked at all his accolades. I'm like, oh my God, this guy was a beast. And, you know, I got to tell you, man, when I watched him growing up, I wasn't really, like, impressed by him because he's just so slow moving. He had that bank shot, right? And I'm like, what's the big deal about this guy, right?
Yeah.
But he was a big deal after you look back at him, you know, kind of the same way I looked at Larry Bird. You know, I thought, what's the big deal about this guy? But then after I looked back, holy crap, these guys were hella good. So anyway.
Stop him. That's the big deal.
That is the big deal. So Tim Duncan, the big fundamental, is my power forward. And then my last guy, because I know we got to get to your list, man. So we definitely are way over time on this one. But anyway, we're bringing a good content on it. So we appreciate it.
All good.
So, all right, the center. Here we go. Here's the center. Drafted in 1987. He was a league MVP 1 year. He is a 10-time All-Star, a 2-time NBA champion, also part of the original Dream Team, okay? He was a scoring champion in 1994 when he scored 71 points in the final game to edge out Shaq. He's only one of four players to have a quadruple-double in his career. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Robinson.
David Robinson, the Admiral. And you know what's interesting about this guy, man? He was drafted in 1987. And then they sat on him for 2 years because he had to go serve for the Navy for 2 years. So then he came in the league 2 years after he got drafted and then was rookie of the year, you know? And, dude, he was he's another guy that I look back and I'm like, holy crap, this guy was hella good. But because there's something to be said about the small market thing. And that's something that, unfortunately, we're not going to get to for the next segment.
This feeds right into it.
So for those of you out there, you know, just be patient. We're going to talk about this, but it dovetails right into what, you know, Tuan wanted to talk about. We're going to talk about that, and I'll summarize, you know,
what we'll imagine about. If Robinson and Duncan played for the Knicks.
I know. Oh, man.
Yeah. Think about that for a minute.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we talk about overrated, and I don't want to piss off my Knicks fans out there. Right. But, you know, they had Ewing, which I thought was severely overrated.
Yeah.
You couldn't stop hearing about Ewing.
Yeah.
You know, and so
they hype up their players, man.
Yeah.
They hype up their players, man. We know the media out there, man.
They
we know the media. Yeah, no.
Benefits of a large market.
Right, right.
Yes.
So anyway, that's my list, man. So in summary, it's John Stockton, Mitch Richmond, Bernard King, Tim Duncan, and David Robinson as my all-time underrated five of all time. So tell me your list, man.
Sure. So my list. So you went with accolades.
Yes.
I went with kind of cult favorites.
Okay.
People, players that maybe time has forgotten, but players that, man, are tattooed on my brain for one reason or another. So the first guy, and again, I'm going to skip over the players because I had Tim Duncan on mine. I had Mitch Richmond on mine. So I'm going to leave those two alone. The first guy, man, I thought he was flashy. I never watched Pistol Pete Maravich play, but I can imagine that it was like this guy. And that's White Chocolate, Jason Williams.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I love that dude. I don't know like how much... He's one of those guys that when, hey, if you're young, if you're under 25, jump on YouTube, go watch his highlights.
Oh, man, he's incredible.
No one in the NBA.
Jason Williams. Yeah, Jason Williams. White
Jason
Chocolate.
Williams. Yep. There's no one in the NBA today that does what that guy did. That dude was incredible. And so for that simple sense, just from the excitement factor, the way that he, you know, we were talking about passing earlier. And, you know, one of the reasons that I liked Magic is Magic not only was a great passer, but he passed you open. He put you in positions where passes weren't there. You know, like, and that's the, to me, that was the biggest difference between Stockton and Magic. Was Stockton did the correct pass every time, but it was a fundamental play. Magic took risks. You know, he kind of led you a little bit. He's looking to the left and throwing to the right, you know, and so he's doing, and Jason Williams was in that mold. That guy, I mean, I remember, he'd do this behind the back where he hit it with his opposite elbow.
With his elbow, yeah.
And then
that was an all-star game. He was passing it to Ray LaFrance of the Denver Nuggets. And he didn't dunk it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he didn't dunk it, man. He got fouled and he couldn't dunk it, man. That was such an awesome freaking play. Yeah. Look it up, guys. You too.
Yeah, look it up. So the next two are two what I would call, I don't want to say warrior killers, but these are two guys that every time we had to face them, I would get nervous because if the clock was coming down, these guys always killed us. And these were two guards, and that is Sam Cassell. And Rod Strickland.
Oh, dude, that guy was unbelievable. You know, before Kyrie Irving, there was Rod Strickland.
Yes.
Rod Strickland was, to me, considered the best finisher of all time, to me, until Kyrie Irving showed up.
Yeah. No, Rod Strickland was a fantastic point guard. I mean, he could score, he could pass, he could, you're right. He was Kyrie before Kyrie. He had some injury. I believe he had a little bit of passion with the Puff Puff, which was a kind of frowned upon back in those days, right? As hunky dory as it is today. So he was kind of like on the outs and he played primarily his career in Portland, which again, small market team, right? So those are two guards. All right. I had, Hakeem Olajuwon. I think I don't want to get into that, but I think Hakeem Olajuwon is severely underrated. I mean, I think if I had to rate best centers of all time, I mean, it's Kareem 1 and Olajuwon 1A. I mean, it's that close in my mind. I think Hakeem was just a fantastic player. Speaking, you know, talking about Tim Duncan not playing basketball till later in your career, you know, Hakeem was another one. He was a huge
soccer player. He's a soccer player. He's a goalie.
He had magical feet, bro. That dude had incredible feet. I still remember when Shaq, his rookie year with Orlando, they went to the finals.
Yep.
And then, again, folks, if you want to see Shaq get embarrassed, bring up those finals. Because Olajuwon, the dream shake, Shaq had no shot. Had no shot. And, I mean, Olajuwon should be referred to as, I think, easily in the top 10. I think we could argue in the top 5 greatest of all time. I think Olajuwon was that great.
There's nobody else that could replicate his footwork in the NBA. I mean, there's a reason why he's hired by a lot of NBA teams to be a consultant to their big men to try and get them to kind of learn some of those moves, right? I would say the closest guy to him from a down low post move, kind of like you don't know what he's doing, was remember Kevin McHale? Kevin McHale was the exact same way, man. But he did it differently. He did it way differently. Like, he did a lot of pivoting.
He did it more in a small spot.
Yeah, but he did a lot of pivoting, you know, this kind of fake pivot, you know, whereas, you know, Olajuwon did this kind of, you know, I don't know what he did, man. He was just like shaking, and he left people in the dust, man. But yeah, that dude, good pick, man, because he is underrated. He was a Hall of Famer, but he's underrated in a lot of people.
I'd be curious what Olajuwon could do in today's game, because I think he had a pretty decent jump shot. He didn't have range, but I think he could definitely have been a player that could impact today's game.
For sure.
All right. Yeah. And then my last guy, three-time MVP, was known for missing hoops on purpose so he can get his own rebound and then score it again.
Moses Malone.
That's right. Moses Malone.
Yep.
And I have him because no one ever talks about Moses.
You know, and I think he might have been the very first guy, you know, I might be misspeaking here, but he's the first guy I remember that came out of high school.
I believe you're correct. Yeah.
He's the first guy that I heard that came out of high school.
I thought it was Daryl Dawkins, but you might be right.
No. Moses Malone came right out of high school, man. Yeah, I remember he was one of the first guys, if not the first.
Yep. So, and that dude, he was good when he was young. And when he got older, dude, he was like a wooden cement, like a cement block. You couldn't move. Like, that dude was just boom, stationed there, get his rebounds. Miss two, get two rebounds, score a basket. That dude was a beast. So I love Moses Malone. I mean, for those of you that don't know, you know, obviously the Warriors have always been my team, but my love team was the 76ers back in the day. Dr. J, Maurice Cheeks, Andrew Toney, Mike Ivarone,
Bobby Jones,
Moses Malone, Daryl Dawkins, Bobby Jones. Yeah, I love that team.
Yeah, they're scrappy, that team, man.
Yeah, and wherever I could watch them, you know, Eddie and I had a conversation earlier about whether or not Dr. J was overrated, and he probably was a little bit, you know, given kind of today's athlete and what they can do. But when I was 6 years old, I mean, I was going to be 6'6", 6'7". I was going to be Dr. J's. I was going to mimic Dr. J. That's what I wanted, you know. Obviously, it didn't come to fruition because I'm nowhere near 6'6". But I love Dr. J and I love those teams. And Moses, I just remember he was the anchor of that squad. And, you know, low post galore. Something that, you know, I think for us old heads, some things we lost when the 3-point line was introduced.
Yeah.
You know, some of that skill set, some of that low post skills.
Yep. Yeah. Hey, but that's, you know, Jokic just brought that back a little bit too, you know,
a little bit. Yeah, so they're more like a hybrid now where they have to play out, but they can play out. But
Right on, bro. Hey, man. Well, hey, man, this was a really good show, man. We intended to cover four topics, but we don't like to kind of go too overtime. Right now, we're almost 20 minutes overtime. Right now, we're at 17 minutes over. So we're just going to go ahead and wrap it up here. So we talked about the NBA playoffs, and then we talked about our all-time starting five. You got to listen, man. Twan has some takes that are just going to take the NBA up. Dude, I wouldn't be surprised if Stephen A. Smith starts talking about you tomorrow, man. Anyway, in the same spirit, the talk.
As long as it isn't Shannon Sharp.
So in the third time we talked about was in the same spirit of the all-time starting five, the most underrated five players or group of players that we see in all time. So we both went through our lists. I went through differently than Twan, but Twan gave his list. A lot of them were similar, but do we tend to like to talk about the large market if it's an inherent advantage for winning championships? We're going to talk about that next week, man. So tune in for next week. Again, guys, episode 7 on Buzzer Beaters. You can find Buzzer Beaters at gremlinsmedia.com, Rumble, YouTube, under the profile Gremlins Media, as well as your traditional podcast outlets such as Spotify, Google, Apple, and Pandora. And you can also find us on Facebook and X, formerly known as Twitter. Twan, another great show, brother. I'll be listening to First Take tomorrow morning to see if
see where they go. This guy, this idiot.
Who are these buzzer beater guys, man? Just like raining on LeBron James's brain.
We need Twan off of YouTube. Yeah, it's all right, man. It's all right. I can take it. But just listen to what I said, you know.
I hear you, man.
If you're an owner and you're starting a franchise, is LeBron really the guy you're going to go with?
Oh, man. Great take, yeah. Man.
Think about that. Think about that.
All right, brothers. All right, guys. Until next week, this is Buzzer Beater signing off.